if you sexy, then flaunt it. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up.
Everyone, and welcome back to Call Me Negotiator. This is your host, Charlotte, and I'm broadcasting on CJSF 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain in Greater Vancouver, Canada. This is a cross-cultural and interdisciplinary talk show where people from different cultures, backgrounds, and fields come together to exchange ideas, experiences, and perspectives. Through these conversations, we explore how culture shapes the way we see the world. And as always, before we jump into today's conversation, let's kick off the show with a little taste of Chinese food culture. We are going to talk about Kung Pao chicken and let our guest, Nicole, to share with us how to make it.
Okay, so for Kung Pao chicken, you start with diced chicken and you stir fry it quickly over some high heat. Then you add dried chilies, Sichuan peppercorns, and a savory sauce, usually made with soy sauce, vinegar, sugar, and other seasonings. And then you just toss it in with roasted peanuts for that signature crunch.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Sounds delicious.
Right. Speaking of food and culture, if you could pick one dish from your culture that means something for you, what would you choose? But I want to say, like, this might be an easy or difficult question for you because I know you host your show talking about food. But yeah, let's start with something that's related to your story. Let's do it.
Absolutely. So one of the main staple dishes that I make all the time is jerk chicken. It's so interesting that we had Kung Pao chicken and then Jamaican jerk chicken is one of the dishes that I make a lot. Mm-hmm. And jerk is like, it's two things. It's a seasoning, it's a spice, but then it's also the way that you make it. Mm-hmm. So if you're in Jamaica, the real typical way to do it is to do it with like, over an open fire. Mm-hmm. And then you're using like wood that is like pimento wood, and that wood flavor goes into the chicken. So it's like a barbecue kind of style, right?
Okay.
On top of the actual seasoning, which is a whole bunch of different things. I'll talk about that in a second. But when you're in Canada, you don't always have the ability to make it that way. So I tend to either make my own jerk sauce seasoning. It's like a marinade.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will make my chicken in the oven.
Okay.
So I'll put it in one of those roasting tins or like a baking tin. Sometimes I even like cook it on the stove where I'm like pan frying it.
Right.
And if you have an air fryer, you can do that too.
Okay.
You can do that too.
I start to use it, but I'm not super talented in cooking, so let's just say that. But I'm really interested in talking about culture.
Yes.
Based on food.
Yes.
Because this is some kind of topic that everyone can just be part of it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, okay, we'll talk about jerk in a second, but I want to share something that connects a lot of different cultures, including Asian culture as well. Mm. Yesterday, and I just found this out, but yesterday was World Coconut Day.
There's a day.
Yeah.
There's a day called, I don't know, like, I don't even know that coconut has a day.
It does. It was, guys, September 2nd. So just so that you know, it was yesterday, and it was actually established in 2009 by the Asian and Pacific Coconut Community.
Okay.
I swear.
Do they get paid like with the regular salary or something? I don't even know.
So the organization is now called the International Coconut Community. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it highlights the economic, nutritional, and ecological value of the coconut palm.
Right.
And so the day is actually supported by 90 tropical and subtropical countries. 90 of them support this. So because it was World Coconut Day yesterday, I was thinking about my childhood and all the dishes that I've eaten as a child with coconut. Because when I was little, I didn't like, I don't know about you, have you had coconut water before?
I did, but I have different type of coconut water.
Yeah.
There's one that's natural directly from the coconut.
Yes, yes.
But there are some kind of like...
like a drink.
Drink.
Yes, yes.
Right. Like I have to say that in China, there's a very famous brand called... Ye Shu Pai, means like this brand called Ye Shu. They make this coconut water or drink.
Yeah.
Extremely delicious. But I realize it actually tastes really... far away from the real coconut water. That's very interesting. Yeah.
So for me, I, as a kid, I didn't like coconut water at all. I didn't like it from the coconut. I didn't like it as a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed my ways, guys. I am so much better. I love it. I actually drink coconut water like a few times a week. But in like Jamaican desserts, there are a few desserts that are made heavily with coconuts, and those were my favorites. So earlier today, I was like talking about some of them. There's one that's called guisada.
Okay.
And it's like a small pastry. It looks like a tart. So it has like a crust that's like pinched around, but then in the middle it's really like a mixture like of coconut shavings and spices like cinnamon, nutmeg, like the warm spices like that. So I used to love eating that. Then there's something else that is called coconut drops. And coconut drops, guys, it's the easiest thing to make, but you do have to have coconuts, like so it's not always that easy if you're like in the western part of the world
to make it.
But what you do is you boil chopped coconut chunks with fresh ginger and with brown sugar and vanilla. And then you boil it until the texture, like the liquid starts to evaporate. And so as it gets thicker and thicker and thicker, you basically take a spoon of it and you drop it on like a tray with parchment paper. And then you just let it dry. And it becomes like a toffee kind of like candy type of a treat.
Okay.
So it's really good. It gets into your teeth, so you have to brush your teeth right afterwards.
Oh, wait.
It's like chewy. It gets like really because of the sugar and stuff like that.
I see.
So it's really, really delicious. I love it.
Okay.
And then there's another favorite of mine. I'm not much of a baker. I tend to like cook more savory dishes than bake, but it's called Jamaican Toto. And that is a very dense, moist, traditional Caribbean coconut spice cake.
Oh, that sounds really delicious.
It is so good.
But I want to say those are the dessert from Jamaica.
Yeah, yeah.
No wonder, because I think, from my imagination, I think I've never been to Jamaica.
Yes.
So from my imagination, they get coconuts so easily.
Yes,
right?
Of course. So that's why it's so easy to make. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're good at it.
100%.
I see.
100%.
We don't have that privilege. But
no.
I always hope that, you know, I've been dreaming about one day when I have our own studio, I would be like, make all the devices waterproof and smell-proof so that we can make the food.
Yes.
While introducing all this, showing to people.
Oh, that would be so fun. You know, right in studio so that you could like literally have a taste test.
Yeah.
Right at the moment. I would love that. But lately, like, I have been liking to drink the coconut water that has like the pulp.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried that? Like, it has like, it almost feels like a bubble tea, but it's actually coconut water.
That's very mysterious. Yeah.
It's so good. There is a Jamaican food brand called Grace. And Grace does like a lot of different things like coconut water, seasonings, crackers, everything, really. Right. And so they have a version of coconut water that I really like. So that's what I buy.
Oh, wow. So now I start to imagine when we have that, you know, room, studio.
Yes.
Sorry, I keep dragging back from, like, the food to what I wanted to include it with.
Yes.
Is that I'm thinking, like, while you're talking about all this kind of dessert, what would be the format for us to, like, talk while you are showing or making it?
Oh, I know.
Or maybe I just, like, asking a lot of questions while you're just, like, explaining to us, so eventually become, like, a food master.
You'd have a little, like, cooktop, and then you could smell it, and you can hear it,
But I don't want to make it, like, elegant way.
No.
I want to make it, like, you know, sort of, like, hilarious.
Yes.
In a weird way where people just don't get what you're doing. Like, just threw it back and then I'm like, I'm not good at it. Something like that.
Absolutely.
I start to imagine it. So maybe at that time we need to collab with your show.
Yes.
Because you talk about this food your show yesterday, right?
I do. Actually, earlier today, I was talking about the desserts that I love. I was talking about World Coconut Day. I've talked about jerk chicken on my show as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people ask me, like, what is in the jerk sauce marinade, right? And there are a lot of ingredients. Like, a lot of people make the marinade a different way, but mm-hmm. for the most part, like, to have a proper jerk sauce marinade, there are two main ingredients that have to be in there. One is something called allspice.
Mm-hmm.
And allspice, to give, like, for those who don't know what that is, it's very, think of it as the cousin of the cinnamon, the cousin of nutmeg. So very
a
warm spice type
right.
of thing, right? The other thing that it has to have is a pepper called Scotch bonnet pepper. And Scotch bonnet pepper is like a really hot, spicy, kind of like, think of jalapeno
mm-hmm.
type of style, like a really hot, spicy, a chili type of style.
Mm.
But when you're in the western part of Canada, it is so difficult to find. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not that easy. In the East Coast, like Toronto, you can get it because they're closer to Jamaica, so they're importing it from there, whatever. It's out here, but it's just harder to find. So I find that what I use as a replacement is the habanero pepper. So the habanero pepper, like, if you are living in the Lower Mainland or the west coast of the country, you can go to Safeway, you can go to any grocery store, and you're most likely able to find habanero pepper.
I didn't even know that there's so many kinds of peppers. Like,
there's so many kinds. I'm trying to learn to grow it. I want to learn to grow the Scotch bonnet peppers so that I can basically have it here.
Okay.
You know?
Wow. Like, because there's a so wait like peppers. You can grow peppers.
100%.
It's like from trees or what?
From seeds.
Oh, from seeds.
From seeds.
And then it becomes like plant.
It becomes a plant, and then it will sprout the actual Scotch bonnet pepper.
So what's the period of like growing this?
That I don't know. Like, I haven't done it yet, but I would say it's probably like a few months for it to happen. And I don't know if like our climate here would be the best. I think I would have to try it in the summertime.
Okay, let us know.
You know what I mean? Because it does grow in Jamaica, and I think it grows there because they have tropical temperatures, and that's probably why it grows really well over there. But I want to try it because it's so hard to get out here, and I feel like, why not just create, you know,
your own,
have the source, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And kind of do it myself.
Yeah, I mean, and also I feel like, I'm not so sure if it's true, but I feel this summer in Vancouver finally makes me feel like summer season.
100%.
Yeah, it was 100%. Like hot enough.
100%.
Not too hot, but hot enough.
100%. 100%.
So it's not just like me, right?
No.
Because I'm still new here, and I started to walk in the town for like more frequent times, and I realized, sometimes I feel like I can wear a dress for the whole day.
100%.
Yeah.
100%, which is so glorious out here. And then if you find it too hot and you're close to the ocean, we are lucky that you can get the ocean breeze. You know, it's a little bit more relaxing.
Yeah. And maybe here it's not tropical enough, but we do have beach.
We do.
And, yeah, we have that. And you bring the plant of your pepper
100%, 100%,
to the beach, and you 100%. Feel a little bit smell of like Jamaica.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really
absolutely.
Okay, wait. We saw you got some picture to
yes.
show to
oh
our,
my gosh. Okay. So I have, okay, so with, I'm going to tell you a little bit about.
Right.
About how to make the marinade, right? Mm-hmm. So I talked about the two main ingredients, which was the allspice and the scotch bonnet pepper. But the other things you can get anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So it has onions in there. I like to use three types of onions, the green onion, mm-hmm. the red onion, and the white onion. Mm-hmm. So I like to put that in there. I like to put garlic, like a quarter cup of vinegar or apple cider vinegar, depending on what, it doesn't matter. I put in some soy sauce in there. I put in a piece of ginger.
Right.
Then I have like salt, pepper, cinnamon, nutmeg, the allspice. And then I like to put in mine red chili pepper flakes. Mm-hmm. I find that it just gives it a nice little flavor, a little extra, whatever. Mm. And then the herb thyme. So you can use dried or you can use fresh. Mm-hmm. I like to use fresh as much as I possibly can. Mm. But if I don't have it, I will put dried thyme in there. And then you put like a quarter cup of olive oil. And then I like to put orange juice. Or I will like put in some slices of orange in there. Mm. Pop that all into a blender. And then you blend it all up. And then that becomes your marinade.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like very exotic to me.
Yeah.
But I like it because I used to be very close-minded. I feel like Sichuan food is the best. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I had some like, you know, Cantonese dim sum.
Yes.
And I feel like dim sum is kind of good, too.
I like dim sum.
Yeah. And then later on, I went overseas and I realized like, oh, there's like Spanish food. There's like, I couldn't even name it all. But people seems like have their own way to cook the food and use the ingredients that they have local.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. So right now, if you're looking on the screen right here, the picture that I have is like I talked about. Oh, I like to make jerk chicken, but with the marinade, it basically, it does, you can use it on a lot of different things. So for people who are vegan, vegetarian, you can put it on cauliflower.
Okay.
So this is like jerk cauliflower bites. So basically, like, I just kind of coated the cauliflower with the marinade, and then I fried it up. Or sometimes I'll add a little bit of breadcrumbs to so that, like, when you fry it up, it has, like, a little bit of a crispy kind of coating to it. Or if I don't want to fry anything, I'll just, like, put it in the oven and bake it.
Okay. Yeah, so you've already tried it. Do you always eat with people from your own culture who already like it, or you share with people who are from different culture background and get, like, you know, different feedbacks?
I like to do both, actually.
Okay.
So sometimes I am specifically hanging with people from my culture who, like, even if they're not from Jamaica specifically, they might be from other islands like Trinidad or Barbados or etc. But for the most part, we kind of share the same kind of spices and things like that. So they kind of understand the flavors. But then I also, because I was born in Canada, I was born in Toronto. You know, my parents are Jamaican immigrants, but I was raised in this country. So I was raised with other nationalities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I do like to share my culture with other people. Mm. And sometimes by doing that, because a lot of times people are afraid of the spice. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't do spice.
Really?
Like, It's too spicy. Oh. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
I know, but like, that's how that's what I talk to my Taiwan friend or some friend from Hong Kong.
Yes.
When I went overseas the first time, because I'm from Sichuan and I eat super spicy food.
Yes.
I was like, really?
I love spice.
I really looked down upon them when they said that, but now I can't eat too spicy, so I kind of feel them. So you never say something too early.
No, okay. So for people who don't eat a lot of spice, I'm turning. Right. Hold on, let me see if I can turn it around properly.
Right.
It's gonna turn in a second. But the chicken that I have, that is a picture of jerk chicken, right? So that can be very spicy. But the little bowl actually has something called mango pineapple chutney.
Right.
So it is basically mangoes, pineapple, some ginger, and you just put it in a pot with a little bit of like cinnamon, nutmeg, again, the same kind of spices. And you just cook it down till it turns into a bit of a sauce.
Mm.
And because that's sweet, when you dip your chicken with the mango chutney, then it doesn't become so spicy.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Sometimes I kind of want it to be very spicy.
I love it.
I like it. But I didn't even know that people are scared of spices.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought, like, as Chinese, I heard the most is that foreigners, especially for Westerners, they are scared of the organs.
Yes.
Like,
I know. They don't like it.
Yeah,
they don't like liver. They don't like any of that stuff. I know.
Which I was, like, very surprised.
Yeah.
But I think now French dish that they have all different kind of organs.
That's so true.
So yeah, maybe you just like branded differently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is one way that I help to bridge the gap of people who maybe don't like spice too much. But the other way that I bridge it is I will take that marinade that I just explained, and then I will mix it with maple syrup, or I'll mix it with honey, and then I will coat my chicken with that. So then it becomes honey jerk chicken or maple syrup jerk chicken.
Mm.
And that sweetness from the maple syrup or the honey helps to cut a little bit of the heat.
Mm.
So it's a little, it's spicy, but it's not like the way I like it,
but I also, by the way, some I think some comments from our Chinese live streaming said that this picture looks very tasty.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna show you another one.
Okay, it never ends. Like,
there's more.
But I love to, while you're looking for the pictures, I really wanted to say that talking about food and even can like make it and everybody come and try it would be like so much fun and adds like some spices to your experiences.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay, so this photo that I'm going to show once it gets situated, there's a fun fact about this photo is that I was hired to years ago to be the barbecue person at a Chinese wedding.
Oh,
I know. And
You mean cook the whole barbecue?
Cook the whole barbecue.
Yes. How many people?
About 100 people. It was a smaller wedding, and what they did. This was in Alberta, and what they did was they rented out a massive mansion.
Okay.
Like on an estate, like acres and whatever. And so the wedding party, they all stayed at the house.
And for 100 people?
No, like the wedding party. Just the wedding party. Just the wedding. I think it was like 20 people stayed at the house because it was so big.
Right.
But what they did was they taught me how to barbecue their steak and to barbecue their chicken. And then I did my own version of chicken. I did chicken wrapped with asparagus.
Yeah.
And then I did barbecue jerk chicken as well.
And they liked it,
I guess.
So they wanted you to do some Chinese.
Yes.
So you're like, yes. And then after they leave behind their bed, you're like, forget it. I'm just going to show them what's real like.
No, I was like, they wanted Jamaican. They wanted the Jamaican. I had to do four different types of meat. So they wanted two Chinese and two Jamaican.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they allowed
it.
You did them behind their
back. No.
that would very risky. So they're just like, this is the time of my life and I'm eating Jamaican chicken, which I didn't expect.
This
is really fun.
But they loved it. It was so great because only the couple spoke English and I think a couple of people from their wedding party, but everybody else spoke Mandarin.
Mm.
And so they had to translate everything. But they loved it. They absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I'd love to try, but I was like, that was a professional job,
you know what I'm saying? Yes, it was,
So because cooking for yourself is totally different than cooking for 10 people and totally different from
100%.
Cooking,
100%.
So how did you feel about it? Like, group of people from China or Chinese, not necessarily from China, like, they're from different culture and at this very important day.
I know.
And they're going to try something that's from like a very different culture from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And maybe people will be like, you know, like there is gonna be like some spicy.
Oh, 100%.
Anybody didn't like it and show it?
No, they didn't show it at all. So the way I got connected with them was I had a food business when I lived in Calgary, and the food business was in a farmer's market, but it was in a farmer's market that is indoors. So everybody had their own little booth. You were open all year round, whether if it was winter, summer, fall, whatever. And the couple was a customer of mine. So they had come to eat jerk chicken wings at my business. Okay. So they knew what my flavors were. They knew how I cooked and whatever. And then that's why they asked me.
Are you still running the business?
No, not that business anymore.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, no, it's like, it's so much work to do, to run like a business like that where you have to be at your shop every day and things like that, or three times a week, whatever. So now what I've moved towards is more intimate dinner parties.
Intimate dinner
party. Yeah, so like 8 to 10 people, you know what I mean? Like I'll go into someone's home and then we will do that type of experience.
Right.
It's way for me as I'm aging, guys. It's easier. It's just more, it's just, I think, more fun than doing the volume. Because like you asked about the volume, it is difficult to get the flavors that you want for like 100 people or 200 people. When I had that business, I was also like sometimes a vendor at a festival. And that is like hundreds of people. It's a lot.
I know. Yeah, that's like, I feel that because maybe I cannot represent to everyone, but I do think as part of everyone who ages, I feel like when we get older, we do care about the quality of 100%. The experience and the quality of everything.
100%.
So make it boutique.
Yes.
It's the way, or it's a very important way to keep the quality high.
100%.
And also, like, the vibe would be very different because if there's 100 people, they cannot be all your close friends.
No, they can't. They can't. They can't. And to be honest, you, even when you ask, like, oh, did you get in, like, what about the feedback? But, like, even out of the people at the wedding, they don't necessarily will tell you if they don't like it unless it was horrible. But if you do something with a smaller group, you can get better feedback. And I appreciate feedback because feedback helps you get better, right? Like I want to know, you know, if somebody thought maybe it was too spicy or whatever, what can I do to tailor it for next time kind of thing? So I prefer the smaller because people can give you better feedback.